Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live stream at thetrumpet.com as well. And, of course, a lot of people like to listen to these programs, this one and other programs on Trumpet Radio, on podcasts, in a podcast form. And, of course, you can download those at thetrumpet.com. And also, wherever you find your podcast, you can find us there. When people think about church, the topic of church, most people think about a building. If you were to ask somebody, where do you go to church, they'd probably say, well, that building over there, depending on where they go. People think about a building, but the church is not a building. Now, God's church does meet in a variety of buildings, but the building is not the church. What is the church, and why does it exist? And is there only one true church? There's so many churches in the world. You can drive down about any street in a town, especially, and pass multiple churches, all kinds of churches. God's church is a major part of His plan of salvation for mankind. And as we've talked about on other programs, God is reproducing Himself through mankind. That's the purpose for humanity, God's reproductive plan, His plan of salvation. And the church, God's church, plays a major role in that plan. But to understand the church, we first need to consider some history. Lucifer, who became Satan, he rebelled against God, and in doing so, he became the adversary, Satan the devil. Now, God's government had been administered on this earth, but that stopped when Lucifer rebelled. Lucifer refused to administer God's government. He rebelled against his creator. And Satan came up with his own code of conduct, rules, with the opposite way of life. That's the way he rules. He rules with rebellion and self-centeredness, conflict. And look around the world. What do you see? You see a lot of that. A lot of rebellion, a lot of self-centeredness, a lot of conflict. And it's growing and it's expanding all of the time. It's Satan, and it's Satan's way. And so, observing this and seeing what Lucifer did when he rebelled, God created man. And he created man so that he could expand his family, the God family. God saw that nothing else other than a God being could be counted on to follow him and to obey him and to live his way of life. He had to expand his family. And so he had a plan to do that through mankind. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which is free at thetrumpet.com. And if you haven't signed up for that, please do so. It's a tremendous course, and it's free. The course says this: Adam, the first created human being, was given opportunity to receive eternal God life upon obedience to God and submission to the law of God and God's government. He could have replaced Satan on earth's throne. He rejected the government and way of God, and thus Satan was left on the throne where he still rules as of this day. Adam had that opportunity to obey God and replace Satan. But he failed, of course. He sinned. And so Satan still rules on the throne of the earth today. Satan is the god of this world. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He's the god of this world. And again, if you look at the world and the way the world operates, you see a lot of that rebellion, self-centeredness, and conflict. That's from Satan's mind. That's from Satan's attitude and his thinking. And the same is true when you look at the religions of this world. You see a lot of conflict because there are a lot of different religions with different ideologies. So Adam and the rest of humanity that came from him has been kidnapped by Satan and cut off from God's spirit. I don't know if you've thought about that before or heard that before, but man has been kidnapped. Kidnapped. And they think, in many cases, that Satan is actually God, because Satan is the god of this world. And he does appear as an angel of light. He does appear righteous. But of course, his works are evil. Christ said he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And so the works are terrible, and they're full of rebellion and self-centeredness and conflict. But Satan does still rule on this earth for a short while. It won't be much longer until he's replaced by Christ, but he does still rule today. And mankind is, in general, cut off from the Spirit of God. Cut off. And again, we're looking at this history, and we're just touching the high spots. There's a lot you can study into here, and a lot of material at thetrumpet.com that can explain all of this in detail. But we're hitting these high spots historically to understand why God created his church. So Adam and the rest of humanity, as mentioned, has been kidnapped by Satan, cut off from God's spirit. Christ, though, came and qualified to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. Christ is referred to as the second Adam. He did qualify to replace Satan, and he hasn't taken over the rule of this earth yet, but he will shortly. But he has qualified to do so. The Correspondence Course says, Christ came the first time not to seize the throne, but to conquer Satan, qualify to replace him, and to ransom the kidnapped world with his shed blood. Christ, of course, paid the penalty for sin. And when people repent and they change and they go the other direction, then those sins of the past are forgiven. You can read about that titanic battle between Christ and Satan in Matthew 4. It was the epic battle of the ages. Mr. Armstrong talked about that. And how it was this titanic battle. It was for the rulership of this world. And Christ won that battle. The Course notes that the physical creation of man began with Adam, the first man. But the spiritual recreation of man began with Jesus Christ, the second Adam. Christ fulfilled that role as the second Adam. And so considering that history, let's think about God's church. The Course asks this question. It says, now, why the church? Christ came also to call out selected and chosen ones from Satan's world to turn from Satan's way into the way of God's law and to qualify to reign with Christ when he comes to replace Satan on the throne of the earth. Christ won't return by himself, and he has people trained over the years that will help him rule. The quote continues and says, those called into the church are called not merely for salvation and eternal life, but to learn the way of God's government and develop the divine character during this mortal life in the church age. That's what the church members, those within the body of Christ, baptized and have received God's Holy Spirit, that's what they're to do. Learn the way of God's government and develop the divine character of God during this mortal life. This is a training period for those that God has called. It's a training period, and it's a time to learn the way of God's government. We have to learn to submit to God's government today so that we can administer it in the future. And of course, depending on where we are within the body of Christ, we do have different responsibilities. You know, we always have to follow some government that's above us. That's always the case. Christ himself does that perfectly. God the Father is the supreme head, and Christ is the head of the church. But, of course, Christ perfectly follows his Father. They're in perfect agreement. And so wherever we are within the church, we do have to follow government that's above us, and sometimes then we have to administer it down the line occasionally as well. And so we're learning about government. This is all very practical, and that's the wonderful thing about God's truth. It's practical. He has a very specific plan, and he's preparing people for specific jobs. It's not just some, you know, nice sentiment or some nice feeling or a nice thought. It's very practical. And this is a training period for God's people. For Christ to rule this earth, he needs assistance to help him. He needs assistance. He's going to have God beings at that time, humans that are born spirit, are born as God beings, helping him. He needs assistance. Notice what type of assistance he needs. The Course says, these individuals will have rejected Satan's false way and proved loyal to the government and righteous ways of God during their mortal lives. So that's the challenge that's before God's people. We have to reject Satan's false ways. And they're all around us. Again, Satan is the god of this world. We have to reject Satan's false way, and then we have to prove loyal to the government and righteous ways of God. That was the same test that Adam had, and he failed it. It's the same test that Christ had, and of course, he passed it with flying colors. He was perfect. He got the perfect score. But we have to follow Christ's example and do the same thing. Reject Satan's false way, and then be loyal to the government and righteous ways of God during our mortal lives today. You know, if you think about sports, if you've ever played flag football or something like that where you huddle up and you call a play, you have to think, okay, well, what personnel do I have? And if you're the quarterback and you're calling the plays and you say, okay, I'm going to throw the ball to so-and-so, well, he has to be able to catch. Right, we have to be able to trust, say, the receiver we would throw the ball to. You know, will he catch the ball? And of course, I've had this happen. I've played that sport a bit, and sometimes you'll ask the receiver, well, you think he can catch this? And usually they say yes. It doesn't always mean that they do. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. They all say yes though, but then they have to prove it. They have to go out and do it. It's the same with us today. You know, God says, okay, to those that he calls and he's working with, will you remain loyal to my government and to my ways? And all those that are called, I think, would say, well, yes. And that's a great answer. And then, okay, but now we've got to go out and do it. We'll see, right? We all say we can catch the ball, but we'll find out if we can when we have to run out there and catch it. We all want to follow the government of God if we're called and God's working with us and our minds are open in that way. But then will we actually do it? That's always the challenge. God finds out about us by our actions. He finds out about us by our actions, what we do. What we do, and so we're being tested in this life. Notice this passage here in James 2. We have a few passages to look at today. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these together. James 2 and verses 17 through 20. It says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Again, it's like saying, yeah, I can catch the ball, but then if we don't go catch the ball, well, that what we said doesn't mean a lot. We can say we have faith, but if our works aren't faith-filled, well, then it's just words, right? So it says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What we do, that's what's so important. And of course, you know, what we think about and our attitudes, all that leads to what we do. So it's all important, but we have to have works that are faith-filled. It says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And so those that are called into the church by God and are baptized into the body of Christ, well, now is the time for works, faith-filled works. And again, we're not saved by works, of course, but we do need to have correct works. And if we don't have works that are of the Holy Spirit, if we don't have fruits of the Spirit, then there'll be some real question there about whether or not we'll be in God's family, right? We have to have the right works. And as it points out there, well, of course, that Satan believes in God. He knows God exists, and that the demons do as well. They know that, but they don't do what God says. Right? They don't do what God says. So we have to be doing what God says. And in the church, in the body of Christ, God's people are being trained and being taught and being prepared to help administer his government. Now is the time to show that we can do that, that we can follow it today and then administer it if it's given to us to do that in a certain area. Notice this verse here in Matthew 7, verse 21. This is something to really think about very deeply. Christ here, he says, "Not every one that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So it's not just about, again, saying, yes, I believe in Christ, or I believe in God the Father. It's about doing God's will. Christ set us a perfect example in that. He always did the Father's will. He was our perfect example in that and continues to be. But when he was on this earth as a physical human, he did that perfectly by the power of God's Holy Spirit. He always did the Father's will. And so in the body of Christ, in the church today, God's people are also learning to do the will of God the Father and practicing that and putting that into effect in our lives. And when we don't do it perfectly, then repenting and moving forward and striving to do it much better the next time. The Correspondence Course says, "In God's supreme master plan, he designed his church to prepare that dedicated and organized staff of God beings." You know, God's putting this family together, and he wants to know, okay, who can I use? How can I use them? And he's preparing this dedicated and organized staff. Very practical. You know, what can a person do? How faithful are they? How loyal are they? How much do they let God give them the faith of Christ so that they can do great works through the power of God's Spirit? Again, whatever is given to that person to do. He's looking to see. God the Father and Jesus Christ are looking to see what we're doing today. This is why God created his church, and why he builds it. Because there has to be, as it says, this dedicated and organized staff of God beings, and they're being prepared today within the body of Christ. What will these first fruits, what will they help Christ do? Well, the Wonderful World Tomorrow booklet that is written by the late Herb W. Armstrong, it gave some really great indication here, and of course, based upon the Bible, as to what God's people will be doing, how they'll be helping Christ in the future. He wrote, number one, all crime and organized rebellion will be put down by force, divine supernatural force. This is talking about a Christ return. And then two, Christ will then set his hand to re-educate and to save or spiritually convert the world. Christ needs help in doing those things. Remember, as we talked about earlier, Satan is the god of this world today. But when Christ returns and Satan is put away, well, then he puts down all the rebellion. And he does it by force because that's what it takes. And then he sets his hand to re-educate and to save or spiritually convert the whole world. Christ isn't trying to save the world today. This is not the world of God. This is Satan's world. It's not God's world today, but it will be when Christ returns, and it'll take time to eradicate the problems and then re-educate. And so he's going to need teachers. Christ will need teachers to help him. God's people, then spirit beings, God beings, we will teach people God's plan. We'll teach them about God's holy day plan. And that pictures God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. They have to learn a lot, of course, but again, we can look at some of these basics. The God's holy day plan, they'll need to learn that. Well, who's going to teach them about that holy day plan that pictures the plan of salvation? Those that keep it today. And if you don't know a lot about that or need a refresher, there is a free book at thetrumpet.com, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? And again, this is very practical. It's hard to teach people about God's holy day plan if we don't ourselves keep it. So we have to be keeping it and keeping it as God intends. Mr. Armstrong writes in The Wonderful World Tomorrow, God has not told us in so many words precisely how his coming world supergovernment will be organized, yet he has given us the general pattern. He has told us specifically where four high executives, including Christ, will fit in. So there are some details, and again, I'll leave that to the book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. You can get that at thetrumpet.com. And so, but the point, though, is that we need to think more deeply about where we'll fit into God's government. I mean, have you thought about that for yourself? Where would you fit into it? What are we preparing for? Are we putting forth a full effort so that we can be used to the highest level possible? You know, whatever the highest goal that God the Father and Jesus Christ have for you, are you preparing to meet that? Again, remember, you know, there's a parable, we'll look at it here in a minute, that highlights the need for growth and development today. And we can look at that in Luke. Let's look at that. Luke 19. We should be preparing to be as useful as possible. Athletes do that all the time. They have a season coming up, and in the off season, they try to get stronger, try to get faster, try to improve whatever skill they're working on. And the reason they do that is so that when the season hits, they can be the best player possible. Well, the kingdom of God is about to be here with Christ returning and setting up that kingdom to rule this earth. Of course, no one's in the kingdom of God until they're a spirit being, a God being. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Mankind will still be living on this earth, but it will be ruled by the kingdom of God for that thousand-year millennium. And God's people right now are preparing to be part of that kingdom of God. Let's look at this parable here that really explains what we need to do. This is Luke 19. Luke 19. And starting in verse 11, there's a fair bit to read through here, but we'll look at this. It says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." So Christ here, it is first coming, and people thought, oh, okay, you know, the kingdom of God will be set up right now, not understanding that there was a time frame there. And there was preparation needed, and people needed to be trained within the church. And so Christ was explaining this. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." So right away, of course, I think you understand this is talking about Christ. He's that nobleman. He went into a far country. He went to his father's throne to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he will return and will rule there in the kingdom of God. It says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." So this is those that have been called into the church, called into the body of Christ, and have had their minds opened, been baptized, received God's Spirit. He wants to know, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? And he's using the picture here of money, but again, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. How many fruits of the Spirit have we produced and do we develop in our lives? It says, "Then the first came, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. That's a pretty good return on investment. And he said unto him, well, you good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have you authority over 10 cities? So at baptism, we get a down payment of the Holy Spirit. We get a bit of it, and God wants to see what we'll do with it. Well, this servant did very well. They took that little bit of the Holy Spirit, and they multiplied it. They had one they started with, and it was 10. And so they got rewarded for their works here. They could have authority over 10 cities because they had prepared for it. Continues and says, "The second came, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he likewise said to him, be you also over 5 cities. So this person had done a good job as well. Not as they didn't gain as much, but still they gained some. And so, okay, they were qualified then to rule over 5 cities. They had prepared for it. And then here comes the trouble in verse 20. "And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. And now notice here, he didn't take the pound and throw it away or say he didn't care about it or whatever, as some do. They reject God. But this person, they said, well, no, I hung on to it and I didn't lose any of it. But they also didn't gain anything. They didn't do anything with it. Verse 21 says, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You take up that you lay not down, and reap that you did not sow. So they were fearful. He said, well, I don't want to lose what I have here. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gave not you my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? So you know how money works, right? Even if you put it in the bank, and you won't gain a lot from it, but you get a little bit of interest back usually, a small percentage. At least it would be more. At least it would have been a little bit more, but they didn't even do that. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Now, humanly, a person could say, well, that doesn't seem fair. I mean, he already has 10 pounds. And that's exactly what the disciples said. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. But he already has 10. I mean, why would you take the one from this fellow? This is, for I say unto you, that unto every one which has shall be given, and from him that has not, even that he has shall be taken away from him. Well, why? Well, because they don't use what they had. And so it was taken from them and given to the person that proved to be fruitful. I mean, even just in a basic business transaction, a smart businessman would do this. He'd say, oh, well, that guy there, if I give him 1 pound, he turns it into 10. This guy doesn't do anything with it. I'm going to take my money from here and give it to this other guy because he'll do something with it. See, the point is, those in the body of Christ today, the church, we have to be using God's Spirit and growing and developing those fruits of the Holy Spirit, God's character. And the more we can grow and the more we can develop, the more we can be used in the future. Those that are called out of this world today, and again, John 6 and verse 44 is clear on that. God has to call. People can't just decide of themselves that they're going to find God's church. God calls people, and it is a small flock. You can read all throughout the Bible. Historically, it's been a small group, and is prophesied to be. But for those that are in that body of Christ, it's a continual growth process in preparation to be as useful as possible in the kingdom of God. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Appreciate you spending some of your time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.